Hey, let's start at the top of Chof Chaim and Aleph by the two dots. So the Save Dizunayim, these people out of the elders of Nuzayim, although out of the Pirkei, the Rav Chisda, they didn't show up to the drasha of Rav Chisda. So I'm the Rav Hamnuna. So he tells Rav Hamnuna, Zil, San Inhu. And so go and they say, lock them up. But it's a nice way of him saying, put them into Nidoy, into Cherem. I was Amar Lahu, my time in the water, we're up on the Pirka. Why don't you guys show up to the Rav Chisda's drasha? I'm Rulei, Amay Nidoy. Why should we show up? But you know, Mine Milso, Pelo Pashalan, we ask him questions and he doesn't answer. So why, you know, we need to go to someone who's a real Talmud Chacham, that's what we'll go to. Did you guys ask me a question yet? You know, you didn't get an answer to? No, and I didn't answer it. So they said, fine. Bomine. Evit shesarso rabo v'beitzim. A evit kanani. Right, so we're discussing now mumim, or things that a adon can do to an evit kanani that will allow him to go free. So what happens here if the adon damages the evit kanani by severing his testicles? Is that considered a mum shibigalui because it's apparent, meaning that from even though you cannot physically see it, it's apparent what the adon has done. Although, or because it's still within the sack and it can't be physically seen, that's not considered a mum shibigalui. They'll have a biyada. He didn't have the answer. So, Amalu, Masipra, what's your name? Amalu, Hamnuna. Our name is Hamnuna. Amalei, Lav Hamnuna. Your name isn't Hamnuna, Ella Karnuna. So what's the difference between Hamnuna and Karnuna? So Rashi says Karnuna comes to the word Kranot, Yoshev Kranot, which is usually when the Gemara was saying in Tfilot that if you want to distinguish between Tamid HaChachamim and Yoshev. Exactly. Very good. So those that are Yoshev B'Yeshiva and those that are Yoshev Kranot, those that be Mavatel Hazman and doing nothing, they sit on the corners, right, and do nothing. So says, you shouldn't be Hamnuna, you should be Karnuna. So you don't learn Torah, you're not a Tamid HaChachamim, and you're one of those Yoshev Kranot. That's what Rashi says.
Did they know the answer to the question?
So then, Tosfos brings the Rav, who says that Hamnuna means from it's a conjugation of Hamnuna, which would be Dal Cham, warm fish or hot fish. And then they said to him, you're no hot fish, Karnuna, you're a cold fish. Right, exactly. So that's the way the Rav explains it. So after the Kameh, the Rav Chisda, so Hamnuna is obviously embarrassed. Here goes back to Rav Chisda and asks him, you know, what's the story? Amalei, Matnita Ba'u Minach. They asked, that's a brisa, it's an explicit brisa. So the Rav is going to quote a Mishnah, but
they didn't show up to Rav Chisda after all.
What? Hamnuna came back to Rav Chisda, I assume, right? Right. Hamnuna came before Rav Chisda. I'm like, Matnitu by Minach. That's a brisa that they asked you. Again, the Gemara's going to quote a Mishnah here, but it's not from the Mishnah that he brings proof, but he brings from a brisa on this Mishnah. He's going to bring proof. It's not. It's three by Arba'a, Roshei Avarim, Beshiba Adam. There are 24 Roshei Avarim. There it's important. Because of Nigain. This is where it's going to say Nigain. Kulam im mitameh mishum mechia. They're all not mitameh mishum mechia. Mechia by Nigain is that if you have a nega that uncovers or encompasses the entire body, and then you find mechia, there is healthy, right, skin inside of there, inside of that nega, right, then that causes the nega to be tameh, right, any nega that has this mechia in the middle will make it. So if you have the 24 roshei avarim, like for instance, fingertips or something like that, that have a mechia that are healthy, they do not qualify for this mechia. They don't either qualify to be healthy skin in between, or they don't qualify if you're in the pasher bikulo, they don't qualify that if to say that the nega is not on his whole body if they're there. And that's because they cannot be seen, right, from both sides, meaning that you can't look at it. You can't see it because they're on the slope or the end of the fingers, then they're not visible. If you look from here or you look from here, it's not visible to the person. And what are these? It's Roshei Tzibaot, right? Yadayim v'raglayim, so the fingertips, the toe tips. Roshei Oznayim, the ear, the edges of the ears. Roshei Chotem, the tip of the nose. Rosh HaGviyah, the tip of the member, Rosh HaDim, the tips of the breast for women, should be shot. Rav Yehuda Omer, even a man's breast would qualify there. V'taniyala, and on that, right, we learned that this is the Braisa. V'kulam, Eved Yotze Behem L'Chirut. That these same 24 Rosh HaVarim qualify by an Eved Tnani to go free if they are damaged. Rabbi Omer, Ave Sirus. So here comes our answer. Rabbi says, even Sirus, why will qualify to let an Eved go free? Ben Ave Omer, Achalashon, even a tongue. Damage to the tongue will be considered or qualified to let the Eved Tnani go free. Samamar, Rabbi Omer, Ave Sirus. Right, and Sirus is according. Sirus the mind. But what is the Sirus? Even if Sirus the Gid, right? If you say that it's the Sirus of the Gid, Hainu Gviyah, that we already mentioned the Mishnah, the 24 Rosh HaVarim, right? Gid was already one of those 24 Rosh HaVarim. Elav, Sirus the Beitzim. So it must be referring to the Beitzim. And that's our proof. So now the Gemara says, right. Oh, that's exactly the answer. The answer is that it's a machlok, it's a tanaim, it's a machlok between Rabbi and the Tanakamo of the that Mishnah. And that's it. So Rabbi Omer apasirus. Right. So now the way Rabbi looks like it says that he thinks sirus, but Rabbi lashon lo. But the tongue for Rabbi does not qualify as one of those mumim that allows the Eved Kanani to go free. Very minimal, is that really true? Hari Shemisha Yamazeh, he was sprinkling on him to become Tahor, in that some sort of Hazah, and we know that the Hazah has to be done on something that is Bigalui, that is exposed. When you get Hazah, the Hazah has to lay in on something that's exposed. Benitza Hazah Al Piv, and one of the sprinklings fell on his mouth. Rabbi Omer, he's up. It works. And he's telling her. Didn't work. My lava lishono. Must be we're talking about the tongue. And that's the machlokes here, whether a tongue is considered exposed or not. But what do you see from that? That Rabbi thinks that a tongue is exposed. Well, aspatav. He says, no, on his lips. Aspatav, shita. I mean, aspatav, of course your lips are exposed. They're a big galui. What is even the question here? Sometimes you hold your lips tightly, you close them tightly, and therefore they're no longer visible, right? When you close your mouth, or you push your lips close together, then they weren't visible. They're still considered visible, even though at times they will be hidden, times that they'll be sealed.
So why do you want to come and say it wasn't good? Because they say, they'll be concealed one time.
And I can say, Rishama, that's not enough. I mean, that's not the Gidli. According to them, that's not enough of a exposure. I mean, exposure means it's always exposed, not just points in time. So here, the fact that your lips can be sealed up is not enough. Batanyo. So now we have another brace that says, Al-Lishono, explicitly says that not Nitzal Piv, but rather Nitzal Al-Lishono. So now it's explicit. V'otanya, another brace, which says, V'nita Rova Lashon, that some of the mumim that we're discussing here, mumim that apply to animals and to b'chorot. So one of them is that if the robe of the tongue is taken out, Rabbi Omer, robe hamidaber should be lishono. Right, midaber is the portion of the tongue that is already not attached to the palate. It's the front end of the tongue, which is used for speech. That's robe midaber lishono, even though animals don't speak, but that's the description of the tongue in humans, so that's what they're using that in animals. So you see, again, Rabbi believes, but qualifies as a mum. So remember, one is that by hazah, we say that it's galui, it's exposed enough that if you have hazah on your tongue, that you become tahor. Number two is it's exposed enough that that's considered a mum. When we talk about severing of the tongue, that's considered a mum. So Rabbi Omer, Sirus, Lalomi by Lashon. Of course, Sirus, yes, and certainly a tongue should include it. But Nazi Amar Lashon. Nazi says, all tongue, yes, about Sirus low. But Sirus is not. Now the Gemara says, whoa, but then my af. What does it mean af? When Ben Azeh comes af halashon, sounds like he's additive. So you have the Tanakama, then you have Rebbe saying Beitzim, and then Ben Azeh says af halashon, sounds like he's adding to what Rabbi said before him. So there's a Kamaita, that's going back on the original part of the Braisa. So it says, Yahke Nekadma, right, the Ben Azeh. Then you should be Ben Azeh first. I mean, if you're looking at progression, you'd say Tanakama, Ben Azeh adds Lashon, and then on top of that, you have Rabbi who's saying Sirus too. That would make more sense to add that on. So it says, Bereisha, so at first place, Tano Shama the Rebbe. he heard the opinion of Rebbe, Rekava, and then he established it in the Mishnah. Vishama the Ben Azai, that afterwards he heard the Lashon of Ben Azai, the Tani, right? And then he, so then the Gemara says, he added in Ben Azai. Right, so that's a good question. Vitani, the Mishnah lo zozo mim koma, right? And then the Mishnah doesn't change. The original purpose of the Mishnah, the text doesn't change. Why is that? This is a very interesting Rashi here. It's a very, very, look down in Rashi, Rashi down, but it's in the Kava. It's in the wide lines of Rashi. It's three lines down, third wide line down, the Kava. Kava leitz rishonot. V'hada sham lo ben azai, she mosif lo shom lo vado ala rishonot. The Kavav was shown af, Kamosha Amra ben Azai. He put it in af, like Azat ben Azai himself said it, because he was referring back to the Tanakhama of the Braisa, the Mishnah. The Tana the Kavav ben Tanakhama the Rabbi. We should have inserted ben Azai between the Tanakhama and Rabbi. And then he should have said the Sirus of Rabbi was in addition to the Lashon of ben Azai. Ella, Jachash Nikva a. Shall Rebbe Eitzel Tanakama, right? That Shkura b'fiha Talmidim. The Talmidim already had learned this. Kach lo zaza shall Rebbe mimkomo. They don't change it. Why? The Sidur Shabbat Azeh Achura. The fi shagirsa shagura b'peh kaser l'shnota. Once a person's learned something in a certain manner, it's very hard to reverse that limud. The lachzor, the goser, but lo shen acharon. That to change the language that you use. Now remember, they were learning Torah Shabbat. Torah Shabbat is literally about that. They were memorizing this girsa. So when they had this shinun that they did over and over again, so they learned it in this manner. If you go afterwards and try to insert something in the middle, it's going to be very hard for them to change that. Better off adding it afterwards, and then they can be just additive rather than trying to insert it and change the whole dynamic of the Mishnah over here. So anyways, interesting Rashi just has to do with the structure of Mishnah and learning them by heart. That is very hard. Like we just think, okay, right, just stick it in there. What's the big deal? But when you're learning by heart, you can't really just stick things in. It's very difficult to change that girsa, especially girsa that you know close to. Right.
Why can't you include Sirius of this type if it's not Galui?
It's obvious. That's what I said before. It doesn't have to be. Galui can be defined as Galui means that I can see it physically with my eye. But Galui means if I look at it, I can see that there's a problem. That it's obvious to me that there's a problem. Right? So here, it's visible to me just by looking at it. Even though I can't physically see it, it's visible. I understand that there's a problem. Samar Ula. Ula says, "Akomodim b'lashon the inyan tumah digaluihu et l'sheretz." And so everybody agrees that when it comes to tumah, right, that it's considered galui. My time, it says by Sheret Asher Yigabo Arachmana b'hainami b'nigiyahu, that it says that if it be touched, right, and a lashon can be touched, meaning that because it. It is, what do you call it? It comes out of the mouth, meaning that you're able to, you know, your hands, or obviously you can touch things with your hands. So too, you can have something touch your tongue. So therefore, tuma, no question about tuma, that it's making mimetame, or the tongue can be a vehicle for accepting tuma or receiving tuma. The inyan tefila, when it comes to going to the mikvah, right, then ketamun dami. Everybody agrees it's kitamund. I mean, my tama. It says v'chatz b'sirob b'mayim amarachmana. Ma b'sirob me'evrai. Something that's on the outside. Afkol me'evrai. Only things that are external to the body are required to be touched by the water of the mikvah, but not things that are internal, meaning to your body.
Suppose you can't tell me that it's touching his tongue.
He still has to go to the mikvah, but he doesn't have to.
His tongue doesn't have to.
Right, exactly. His tongue doesn't have to be sucked. Lo nechluku elinin and hazaah. Machlokus here is simply about hazaah. Rebbe midami le tuma. Rebbe compares it to tuma, just like tuma can be received through the tongue, so too hazaah can work on the tongue. Rebbe midami le tevila. And the rabbanon says, no, it's like tevila, that it's tamun inside the mouth, and therefore you don't need it by tevila, and it won't work by hazaah. They're arguing in this pasuk. Tahor ala tamei. So it says that when you're doing the hazar, it says that the tahor will sprinkle it on the tamei. Rebbe Savar Vizar Tahor ala tamei beyom hashlishi beyom hashvi'i v'chitpo. Right, so the tahor sprinkles it on the tamei on the third and seventh day v'chitpo, and that'll make him tahor. So what's the close there in the pasuk? It says Vizar Tahor ala tamei. So chitpo is compared to tamei. just like the Tameh can receive Tuma in his tongue, so too b'chit o, if it falls on his tongue, it'll work to make him Tahor. Rabbanan Tavrei b'chit o b'yom ha-shvi b'chit beis b'gadav rachat b'mayim. That the pasuk continues, is b'chit o b'yom ha-shvi b'chit beis b'gadav, he'll wash his clothes b'rachat b'mayim, and they'll go in the mikvah. So the b'chit o is referencing the rachat b'mayim. So it's like by tevila, right? You don't look like the tongue's not considered necessary for the tevila. So too b'chit o, when you do that, it's not that way. Rabbanan Nami Nidmei L'tumah. Why don't they compare it to Tumah like Rabbi does? So Tara Mitara they would prefer to have two things that are talking about being Mitaher and comparing them rather than talking about Tameh and Tahora or Tehora, which don't necessarily match up. Rabbi Nidmei L'tvilah, Rabbi should hold like the Chameh and compare it to Tvilah. They have a good claim. It should be Tahor V'Tahor. It says V'chibes B'gadav V'chibsika Inyan. Right? It's not so clear. The way the Chameh learned it says in the puzzle, it's O, right? V'yom HaShvi V'chibes B'gadav V'chatz B'saro B'mayim. Right? Or V'chatz B'mayim. So between V'chatz B'mayim and V'chitz O is found V'chibes B'gadav. So there's something in the puzzle that interrupts. So it's not so clear that you can learn from V'chatz B'mayim to V'chitz O. Gemara says, now Gemara challenges this idea of a Sava Rabbi Linyan Tefillah Katamun Tami. Is it really true that we consider a tongue to be tamun, meaning that it's not necessary to touch the waters of the mikvah? Amar Rav and Amar Rav Ad Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Masa B'Shivcha Shul Beit Rabbi. There was a Shivcha Beit Rabbi. She told Lo Ba'alto. She went into the mikvah, then she came out. V'Nimtza Etzim V'Nshina. And they found a bone or some sort of food stuck between her teeth. V'Tzricha Rabbi Tefillah Acheret. So Rabbi made her go to the mikvah again. So why should it be any damage? Anything that's found in your mouth, right, should not require, right, being touched by the waters of the mikvah. So why, if something stuck between your teeth, should have any, right, malo mobis when it comes to going to the mikvah? So the verse says, the heat be at maim lo bainon. Oh, no, fine. We don't need the mouth or the tongue to actually be touched by the waters. Makom aro uila bo b'mayim b'ina. But nevertheless, even though they themselves do not need to touch the water, they have to be ra'ui to go in the water. And what does that mean, ra'ui to go in the water? There can be no chatzitza, right? There can't be anything blocking. And here she has food between her teeth. That's blocking over here. Kidder Rabbi Zeiro, the famous statement of Rabbi Zeiro, Damer Rabbi Zeiro, calls a ra'ui to be the in bila me'akevet bo. Anything that can be mixed, right? Then if it's not mixed, it's still kasher. Shein ro'i would be luck, something that isn't, that can never be mixed. Bila me'akevet bo, mixing will be. That's the case by a mincha. Gemara wants to know what's the maximum size of the mincha that you can bring. So Gemara says, well, up to 60 is a maximum size, because up to 60 you can still mix the shemen and the, right, and the kemah, or the flour, and the, everything that can be mixed together. Gemara says, but the Mishnah in Menachot says explicitly, in lo balel kasher. If you don't mix it, it's still kasher. So why should we care? If you bring 61, you can't mix it. So that's where Rizer makes a statement. If it's possible to mix it, then if you don't mix it, it's still kasher. But if it's impossible to mix it, then you can't say lo balel kasher, because you could never mix it. So therefore, when you don't mix it, you can't say it's b'di'evit. So same thing over here by the chatzitza. The net is necessary. The need for the teeth or the mouth to be clean in order to go to the mikvah, so that there be no possibility of chatzitza. So once you've done that, the mouth itself does not need to touch the waters of the mikvah, because that is inside your mouth. That's the same thing over here. So Rabbi believes that yes, the mouth does not need to go into the mikvah, but still has to be ro'ui to go into the mikvah, which means that it can't be any chatzitza in the mouth. Kitnai. This happens to be a machlokas tanaim, whether sirus has an impact. Why? Because we say umaoch v'katut v'nituk v'natuk v'karut. So these are four psulim or mumim that are found. Right? Maoch is squeezed, slightly crushed. Katut means it's completely crushed. Natuk means torn away, but it's still attached. And karut it means it's severed entirely. Right? Kulan v'beitim divrei Rabbi. Rabbi Yehuda. So Rabbi Yehuda says that all of these reference to the testicles. The beitzim velo begid. Right? What do you mean? That it only applies to testicles and not to the member? Ela kulan af beitzim. Rabbi Yehuda says it applies both to the gid and to the beitzim. Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov Omer kulan begid. That it only applies to the member and not to beitzim. So Rabbi Yossi Omer ma'och v'katut af v'beitzim. Ma'och v'katut have application by beitzim. Natok v'karut begid in v'beitzim lo. Because ma'och v'katut mean are much more, right, obvious, because the testicles are crushed in the sense that it's easier to see, right, that there's a change there. Whereas by Natukva Karut, they're just severed. So they're still in the sac, they're just severed. And in that case, it's not so obvious that that there's a difference or that there's a mum over here. So that way, here we have this machlokias Tanaim here, whether Siris of Beitzim is a mum or not a mum. And that happens to be machlokias between Tanaim here, between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov, right? Rabbi Eliezer ben Yaakov believes that it only applies, all these mumim only apply to the Giyad, therefore by Beitzim they're not considered a mum. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda believes that all of these are considered mumim, even when it comes to the Beitzim. So this is a machlokias Tanaim that we have such a... So next Mishnah. So now we're going to do Kenyan. Niknate. So these are large animals, right? Large from animals. Niknate bimisira. Can be acquired through misira. So now we'll discuss, I'll come back to this second. Let me read the whole Mishnah. I'll come back and discuss with you some of the issues here. Vataka. And smaller animals, bahagba, right? With lifting, actually physically lifting. Dibre, Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Eliezer. Can also be have a kinyan and mishicha. So we had earlier in the Gemara what a mesira and what a mishicha were. Right, mesira was handing over the reins, right, grabbing it by its hair, taking its hoof. Right, those are the things. So Rashi over here sounds like mesira is that the seller hands over the reins to the buyer. And from Rashi, it sounds like, as this was pointed out, that Rashi thinks that misira means that there's a giving by the seller to the buyer. There's some handing miyad liyad. There's some sort of transition of ownership by the seller giving something over to the buyer. And that's what creates the misira over here. That's number one. Rashi also makes the statement that misira, when the Mishnah here says misira, it means misira, but mishicha lo, b'kanya. Misira works by behema, gasa, but mishicha does not work. Why? Dein Yarka Bekach. Because you normally don't do Mashicha with Behema Gassel, Lichaluf, enough. Right? That's not the way you usually move a Behema Gassel. That's not the Mashicha, is not a normal form for directing or moving along a Behema Gassel, because it's not the normal form. It also will not work as a form of kinyan, right? Because we said case of the mishicha, we had this back on that kapanim with that. Kore la b'hiba calls it, and it comes. He kishu b'makel v'ratzel panav, and it runs in front of him. I mean, that works with small animals. That doesn't work with big animals. It doesn't work. So Rashi says two things about misira. Number one is misira sounds like it's handed from hand to hand. Number two is he also says misira works here by behemah gasa. Mishicha does not work. So of course we can have the other rishon. We're going to possibly disagree with that. So the Rebbe disagrees with Rashi with the forms of Mesira has to be from hand to hand. Because what were the examples? Back on Chavbet Amud Bet, when it says Ketzet of Mesira, I'll give you the list of what it has over here. Akza, Betalpa, right, that he took it by its hoof. Alright, so that's Besara with its hair, Ba'okif Shalel, or its saddle, Shalif, or the goods on it, Bumbia Shabbia, Bazook Shabbara, or the bell. So if you just start with Akza, Betalpa, that he took it by its hoof. What do you mean? How do you explain that? The mocher handed the hoof to the buyer? No, taking by its hoof is that the buyer went ahead and took the hoof. He says, Leit chazik v'kni. He says, the buyer goes to him, go take possession of it, and he lifts up the hoof, and that's what takes possession of it. It's not that he physically handed him the hoof, or he hands something over to him. So the Rebbe believes, and so does the Rashbam, that when we talk about Mesira, that means that with the command of the Mocher, he went and took possession of this, but not that you need Mesira Miyad Liyad. You don't need a physical transference of the control of the animal from the Mocher to the Koneh. The second thing that Tosus disagrees with, now this happens in Machlokes, where the Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi. Rabbeinu Tam agrees with Rashi that Mesira is better than Mesicha, and therefore if you don't have, right, if you have Mesira, when the Mishnah says Mesira, it means Mesira. Sira, not Mashicha. The Re and the others believe that Mashicha is better than Mesira. Mashicha works better, and therefore when the Mishnah says that if we nickname Mesira, it means Achbe Mesira. And that closer to Mashicha works over here. So you have the Rashbam and the Re believe that Mashicha is better than Mesira. Mashicha is better than Mesira. Then when the Mishnah says Mesira works by Megazza, it means Mashicha also works by Megazza. Right? Whereas the Rabbeinu Tam and the Rashi believe that Mesira is a better, right, form of Kinyan than a Mashicha. If that's the case, when the Mishnah says Mesira, it means exclusive Mesira and not Mashicha. Right? So that's the Mapa. So now you have to explain. This Gemara will be explained by each of these two opinions differently. Darish Rav Kimchonia. Rav gave a drasha in a place called Kimchonia. Behemagasa nivnet v'mishicha. Behemagasa can be acquired through mishicha. Shkechinu Shmuel Tamidei Rav. Shmuel found the Tamidim of Rav. Amalo miyam Rav. Behemagasa nivnet v'mishicha. Did Rav really say that if Behemagasa is nivnet v'mishicha, banan v'mesira tanan? We saw in our mission that's mesira. So now depending on it's depending on who you're reading according to, right? This commission, here the question will be different. What does that mean? Rana and Mesira Tanan, our mission says that Mesira works. So according to Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, right, that means that how could Rav say Mashiach works, right? Rana and Mesira Tanan, we learned in the mission that it's Mesira and not Mashiach that works. Right, so that's the question here. According to Rabbeinu, according to the Ri and the Ashwin, the question is, but Rav says Mashiach works only Mashiach, because Mashiach is better than Mesira. So if he mentioned Mashiach, that means Mashiach only and not Mesira, and our Mishnah says, Af Mesira. So it says, Rav Nami be Mesira Amar. Then Rav also meant Mesira. So Hadar be Mahai. Right, he went back on his opinion. That's what Bishmol says at the end of the statement. He went back on his opinion. So according to when Rav Nami Mesira Amar, according to the Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam, that means Mesira exclusively and not Mashiach. According to the Ri and the Rashbam, when he said Mesira means after Mesira, right? That means that even Mesira will work over here. So who da Amar Ki Aitim?
According to what Nami, would fit a bit more to the Tosfot, the Rashbam and Ri.
Very good. Nami, you can read this two different ways. Rav Nami bin Mesira Amar, that means he also says Mesira, or Rav Nami,
really?
He really said, Nami said Mesira. He didn't say also Mesira. Rav Nami also, he said, like the Mishnah, he said the word Mesira and not Mashiach. So that's, right, there are two ways to read it. It does read nicely if you say like the, that's Nami. Exactly. Okay, it does read nicely. So where it says, Hu Damar Ki Hai Tano, right, that there is another Tana, the Tanya, we have a Brisa, Chomim Mabim, Zu Zu Nitneit V'Mishicha, that both a Behema Gasa and a Behema Dako, right, can be Nitneit V'Mishicha. And Rav held like that these Chomim, that even Behema Gasa or Behema Gasa could be Nitneit either exclusively V'Mishicha, according to, right, according to the Rabbeinu, what do you call it? According to the Reed and the Rashba, Mashiach would be exclusively. According to Rashi, it would be Mashiach in addition to the Mesira. The Mashiach Omer, Zug Zub Agba. Mashiach says you can do Agba in both of them, and not Mesira. Mashiach, you need to actually physically lift them. So now, okay, Rabbi Shimon introduces us into a big problem. Matzvifla Rabbi Yosef, Elameata Pil. You want to acquire an elephant. According to Bishimon, the only way to acquire animals is by lifting them. Now all of a sudden you want to do a bra on an elephant. Well, how exactly are we going to do this a bra on an elephant? Right? So Bishimon, make that. No problem. What do you have? You don't have to do Agba. Kinin Khalifin is also available over here. Right. So Inami or Besocher to Mikomo. Or he rents the space and you do a Kinin Agav, which we're going to see in the next Mishnah, which is that you can acquire the Talkalin on top of real property. So he just rents the space and he acquires him. Rabbi Zeir Amar, maybe Arba Kalim. No, I have a better idea. You bring him four stools. Aminichan Taka the Raglab, put under his feet. Right? And he steps up on the stool. So he lifts him up by having step up on these Kalim, on his own Kalim. So, by the way, Stephen, that's Shema Aminat. Kelab Shalokeach Birshut Mocher. Because right, we're in the Mocher, you know, place. What is he doing? Sticking down the Lokeach, sticking down his Kalim, and telling the elephant to step up on his Kalim. Right? So, there already see Stephen, that Lokeach Birshut Mocher Kana Lokeach. Right, which happens to be, we saw a long time, we've seen this many times, it's a Machlokus in Baba Basra. And from this, you can conclude one way or another. Where it says, no, Akhulanskina Bishimta. We're not talking about a place that is in the place of the Mocher, but Shimta is a side or a small area on the side of Rishus Rabim. Which is not a Rishus Rabim and not a Rishus Yachid. It's a place where anybody who shows up can use it for their own benefit. Inami, the other possibility is Bichabile's Murot. Right, that he puts piles of like small twigs, and he has the elephant step on them. So now Rashi says they have to be gvoim in aretz shloshat tfachim. They have to be three tfachim off the ground, because according to Rashi, hagba only works when you lift something more than three tfachim off the ground, because you have to take it out of Torah Lavud, right? If it's still within three tfachim on the ground, it's still considered ala karka. So you have to lift up more than three tfachim. So according to Rashi, the inami b'chabili is murot, as opposed to kelim. Stam kelim are less than three tfachim, chabilis murot are more than three tfachim. So you want to use the chabilis murot instead of the kelim to get you above the three tfachim. The Rabbeinu.
What way game with this answer?
No, I'm saying why Chavilis Marot versus Kelim. Oh, that's the answer. So according to Rashi, it's because Chavilis Marot are more than three Tvachim, and Stam Kelim are not more than three Tvachim. So it's a better, this is a better solution according to him. Now this happens to be a Machlokas Rashi in Rabbeinu Tam in many places, whether Agbah needs three Tvachim or only one Tefach. Rashi believes that for Agbah to work, you need three Tvachim. Rabbeinu Tam thinks you only need one Tefach to be Agbah, but only requires one Tefach off the ground, not a full three Tvachim. So again, the Rabbeinu Tam over here is going to say that Chavilis Mrot or Stam one tefach off the ground, Kelim are not. There's an interesting Rabbeinu Meshulam over here who says the reason they use Chavilis Mrot is because that's what elephants eat. The elephants eat Chavilis Mrot. You know how he did Hagbah? He didn't lift the elephant up. He went up above the elephant and he held up the food. And he had the elephant jump to get the Chavilis Mrot. And that is considered Hagbah. And so this proof said that Hagbah can be accomplished not only by actually lifting it, but causing the animal to leave the ground, even if it jumps to leave the ground in order to come get the Chavile Zmurot. Okay, so that's the, this is a big circus act. You had the elephant jumping to,
the original circus.
Exactly, to get the, but that's a form of Hagbah, right? We'll stop over here.